mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the questions that I often wrestle with here on Good Friday is this one, and maybe you've wrestled with it too. Why did Jesus have to die? I mean, we just heard about a little bit from the children's message. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? He died for us. And maybe not so much why, but I struggle with the fact that it seems like if you read the scriptures, that Jesus, why did Jesus have to die? Why was it imperative? Why was it so important for God to wrap up his son in human flesh, to walk on this earth, and then to suffer and die on the cross? Why? Why did Jesus have to die? Today I hope to share with you three answers, three replies on why the death of Jesus on the cross is so important. But first let me share with you our text for today from Romans chapter 3, verses 24 to 26. It says this: all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. This is our word. So the first reason that Jesus had to die on the cross for us is to turn away God's wrath. In Romans 3:25, we just heard this passage, that God presented his son as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. This whole idea of sacrifice of atonement, another Greek word is propitiation, that Jesus was our substitute. Jesus took our place. This really ties into the Old Testament idea of atonement. In the Old Testament, once a year, they had a day of atonement. One lamb, one sheep was sacrificed, and the blood was sprinkled on the altar to cover the altar, the sins of the people. On another goat was called the scapegoat. And this goat, the priests put their hands on it and led it in the desert, carrying the sins of the Israelites. And so when it talks about Jesus being our sacrifice of atonement, it's this analogy, this image, that Jesus carried the sins of this world on his shoulders, paying for it for the sake of all of us. In the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement was practiced year after year after year. There were sacrifices after sacrifices after sacrifices for the sins of the people. But God, through his Son Jesus Christ, made a once and for all sacrifice that paid for all the sins of all times, that was the sacrifice of atonement for you, me, and all of the world. You know, when we think about this, when Jesus died on the cross, his blood, the blood of Jesus, turned away the wrath of God and covered the sin of the entire human race. If you can imagine, the goats that were led in the desert, they were led there to die to pay for sins, because our sins cannot be paid for except through blood. And as Jesus was carrying on his shoulders, on the cross, the sins of this world, God's wrath was poured out on Jesus. The wrath that you deserve and the wrath that I deserve, so much so that Jesus cried out, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? Jesus was forsaken because he carried your sin and my sin. He was the sacrifice of atonement. The wrath of God sat on him so that we might be covered by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the first reason. The second reason that Jesus had to die for us on the cross was to demonstrate God's justice. Or as we hear in our text, that God presented him, Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. And he did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in the Old Testament, in his forbearance, because it wasn't the right time, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. And so sin after sin after sin piled up, and the sins had to be paid for. One of the most confusing things to understand about God is how God is both love and God is just. And how do you balance those things of a just God and a loving God? And I think one analogy is if we take our court system in the United States, when somebody has done something wrong and they get caught, what happens then? They are taken to court and they stand before a judge. And the judge, after hearing evidence of what they may or may not have committed, offers a verdict. And their verdict, if they are found guilty, is a punishment for their offense. Now imagine what would happen if somebody committed an atrocious act, whether killing someone, maybe raping someone, maybe even killing multiple people. If the judge said, that doesn't matter, that's okay, would that be justice? It wouldn't. And so even in our world today, even in this life, a price must be paid for breaking the law. Because we know that when lawbreakers are set free with no punishment, the respect for law disappears. If people aren't, you know, fearful sometimes, that they'll think, I can do whatever I want, and there are no consequences. For us, if we say we can do whatever we want, there are no consequences, sin isn't real, that takes away from God's justice, from his holy nature, that he is holy and he hates sin. And so we think about in this world, if sin is not punished, then sin really isn't sinful. And so because of God's justice, who paid for our sins? Who took upon his shoulders our sins, big and small? Jesus did. He took on our sins on the cross. And so God's holiness demands that sin be punishment. But God's grace provides the sacrifice. And so the amazing thing about this is what God demands, he supplies. Can you say that with me? What God demands, he supplies. See, you and I, we can't pay a sufficient sacrifice for ourselves to win or earn forgiveness of sins. But God accomplished our forgiveness. God accomplished and is able to give us grace because of the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And so really, the cross is where grace and wrath meet. God's grace for us is found on the cross as Jesus pays for the sins that we deserve to pay for. God's wrath is poured out on his Son so that we may experience God's grace. And so that leads me to the third reason why Jesus had to die for us. And that is to justify us freely by God's grace. That's what essentially Paul says in Romans 3, that we are justified freely by God's grace. When I think about this word grace, sometimes you've heard of the definition of grace is undeserved mercy or undeserved merit. But think about this definition of grace. Grace is what you need, but what you don't deserve. Grace is something that you need so much, but you don't deserve it at all. And so as we think about this grace, we can't earn it. We don't deserve it. God gives it to us as a gift because Jesus has paid the price. There's a story of an elderly woman who came to faith late in life. And she was talking to one of her friends who was a skeptic about faith and all that about Jesus. And so the skeptic asked this new Christian, "So now you follow Jesus? Do you know all the answers? You have the theology all figured out?" And the new Christian said, "No, all I know is that God loved me so much that he sent his son Jesus. Jesus loved me so much that he took the place I deserved. He died the death I deserve. And so now I believe in Jesus, that he is my Savior, and I have life in him. And essentially, she came down to this conclusion that because Jesus stood in my shoes at Calvary, now I'm standing in his. You love that? Now that Jesus stood in my sinful shoes, Jesus in the flesh took my place, now I'm standing in his righteousness. Now I'm standing in the shoes of grace. Now I'm standing in shoes of love. This is what faith in Christ does. This is why Jesus died, so that we might be rescued by Jesus. And so maybe you're a lifelong Christian, and you know you are secure in your faith. Maybe today you're watching online, and this is something new for you, and you may be wondering, well, what do I do? What must I do to be saved? And the great news today is you don't have to do anything. The work has been done for you. God, in his love, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die the death we deserve, to pay for your sins and my sins. And so Jesus invites us into a relationship with himself. Jesus invites us to run to the cross. So my friends, friends of Talmadge Lutheran Church, friends who have just come across this Good Friday service, this is my prayer for you, that today you may run to the cross, that you may receive the gifts that Jesus has won for you there, that you may be forgiven and set free from the wrath of God, that you may live in hope, in love, and in peace. You know, Good Friday wasn't good for Jesus, but for you and I, it's the best thing that ever happened. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you are a God of love, but you are also a just God. Help us, Lord, to know that you hate sin, that sin separates us from you in such a way that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot set ourselves free from our sin. And so you sent us your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to set us free. Not by just declaring us free, but by taking upon himself your wrath because of our sins. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for being wrapped in cloths and laid in the tomb. And thank you, Jesus, for having the power to defeat sin, to defeat the powers of this world and the powers of devil through your glorious resurrection. Jesus, you have given us victory and forgiveness and life and salvation. Thank you, Jesus. May this day be good for each one of us as we run to the cross and place our hope and our faith in Jesus. Amen.